I want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to pray for me this morning, all right? Pray for me. I appreciate those that pray for me every day. I pray for myself every day. And I was asking the Lord yesterday, God, I don't care what you want me to preach. Just let me know what you want me to preach. And God helped me with a message this morning. I'm just kind of eager to get into it. I want it to be a blessing. And I want it to be an encouragement to God's people. I want it to be an encouragement to anybody. I'm not thinking that everybody that is either watching online or out in Kenya or maybe even here, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're not. I don't know that. I'm not your judge. But maybe you're not. Maybe you're not sure what it's all about. Maybe you think it's just the religious ritual that gets performed on you and then you go out and do whatever. Maybe you think you're supposed to be a monk or a priest or something like that. That's not true. But if you're listening to me today and you're not saved and you're not sure what it's about, I'm going to try to help you with that this morning. God laid it on my heart last week to just preach the cross. I was talking to Brother Reg Kelly several years ago, and it was his burden back then as well. And he said, Mike, how many sermons do we preach and we leave the cross out of the preaching? And I knew what he meant. We preach a lot of things. We preach on the issues of life. We preach sometimes politics. We preach hell. We preach heaven. We preach against sin. We define sin. We take the encouragement and the chastisement of the Bible. But we don't want to forget the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross, to those who believe, is not just a piece of wood in the back of the church. It's not just a monument out in the front. It's not just a grave marker. It's a lot. When I say it's a lot more than that, that is a gross understatement. And I firmly believe that it is the cross of Jesus Christ that both saves people, that cleanses people, that keeps them. And when I was going through this yesterday, the Lord was helping me with it. I believe that every issue of life, the power of the cross has God's answer for you. Okay? I don't care what it is. If it's maybe a death of somebody that you love, the cross has the healing for that. Because Isaiah said, by His stripes we are healed. He's talking about, he was foretelling what was going to happen on the cross. Whether it's financial issues, whether it's mistakes that you have made in life, mistakes at work, things you did, shouldn't have done at work, stupid stuff that we do, sins that we should not commit that we've committed, things that we've said that we shouldn't have said, thoughts that we thought that we shouldn't have thought. And I found that it may be easier to control my mouth, but how to bridle my mind, I haven't learned that one yet. Can I hear you say amen? So I don't feel bad that I'm the only one like that. Okay? And I just believe that. And I'm going to show you the scriptures on that. I'm kind of going through the message before I get to the scriptures, but I want you to understand this. Our religion is not about what we do. It's about what He does, did, does, and will do. Remember, Jesus said, I am He that was, and He is, and yet shall be. He is all of those things to us. And I want you to understand the great relationship that we have. When I say the cross, I mean, of course, Jesus' death on the cross and what was done on that particular day, what was done on that, all right? If somebody, here I am again, I ought to be more prepared for this, but I'm not. I've just been getting a dry mouth here lately, and if I could get a bottle of water, I'd appreciate it. I know Caleb, he'll go do it, but he'll ask for money later. He went like that. Going to cost me. Now, while he's doing that, let me kind of explain to you where I'm going this morning, all right? I was pondering this yesterday. There are two types of church member. I'm not necessarily preaching to lost people today, but I do believe that there are people sitting in church that are lost. I believe there are people standing behind pulpits that are lost. Church leaders, church deacons, church board members, Sunday school teachers that are lost. And they are lost for one reason, and that is they will not regard the finished work of Christ on the cross. So I've got two pictures up on the screen. Do I?
Yeah.
All right. Two types of church member. There's one type that thinks they can do for themselves. I didn't say they could do it. I said that's what they think. They think that they can do for themselves, that they don't need any help, that even though they go to church, they may be prominent in the church. In fact, some of these people usually are. They have an air about them that most of the preaching that's done is for everybody else except them because they don't have the problems that other people do. And I've got something to say about that here in a minute. But they think they can do for themselves. So I found a picture of somebody on the internet that looked arrogant. Okay? Now, before I don't know who this man is, and if he happens to be watching today, I didn't pick you out of a lineup, all right? I just found a picture. Let me tell you this, though. There was a time in my life when that was me. I got out in the Bible college and started showing the world what I could do and had people saying, man, we got great hopes in you, Mike. Boy, you can do this and you can do that. And when I came back to Missouri and Lisa and I got married and we started a family and I started kind of working in church a little bit, just kind of looking for opportunities, I had it in my mind that I could do just about anything I wanted, write my own ticket in life, and nothing was going to stand in my way. And I used to be very arrogant, very cocky about it. That was I hated my 20s. I did. I hate them. I don't ever want to look back at those times. Okay? But that's how I used to be. In fact, I was interviewing for a youth pastor job years ago. And the pastor knew of me. He had met me before. And I sat down and talked to him. He said, Mike, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, the first time I met you, do you know what I thought? I went, no. He said, I didn't like you. He said, you're very arrogant, very cocky, and very proud. And he said, that's just how you throw off to people. That's who you are. And I went, I am not. I didn't want to believe it. But that's who I was. Then there's the church member that knows that they never have done for themselves and they never will. They never have and they never will. They came to that conclusion. God woke them up one day and made them realize that they are not who they think they are. Okay? And I've come to that part of my life. That I realized I was not who I portrayed myself to be. I was not who I thought I was. And I realized, and God helped me through it, and He still does. I never have done anything, and I never will do anything. That's what the cross is for. Can't get amen out of God's people.
Here's another one.
Two types of church member. This guy thinks he's better than others. That goes along with they think they can do for themselves. So they think that they are better than other people. Been there. Thought I was better preaching, better singing, better looking. That I was going to do every... Who laughed at that? I did. And I want to tell you, to this day, sometimes I'll pull up just different preachers on sermon audio and just listen to them for a while. To this day, I find myself going, oh, I can do a lot better than that. It ain't right. God smites me. Mike, can I remind you who you are? Yeah. Can I remind you, Mike, that the only reason why you're here is by my grace and mercy and no other thing? Yeah. So one type of church member thinks they're better than others, and I'm going to take a guess, but I think probably some of you visited a church where you felt that from everybody, that you were kind of not for them, not their crowd. Amen? Then there's the person in church that knows that they are the worst sinners in the world. Can I hear God's people say amen? The good news is you're not. Paul was. Okay? Paul was. So that kind of takes it off of us. But we still think of ourselves that that's who we are. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is not unhealthy. If you take that to the cross, it'll be unhealthy if you convince yourself that you're no good and that there is no remedy for you. You'll be out of here. We won't see you around anymore. You'll fall out. Everybody understand that? I've thought that too, time or two. Two types of church members. Here's another one. They lie about who they really are. They lie about it. They try to make people think that they're good people. I've seen preachers that way. I've seen church people that way. They are not honest about who they really are. They put up a spiritual cover over themselves. And they do it in various ways. I've seen in some churches where they pretend they have all these gifts of the Spirit running around. And they use that as a cover to cover up who they really are. But they want everybody to think that they are something really, really special with God, and God gives them things that He doesn't give anybody else because they've worked their way up to the top. I've seen people do that. I've seen people act that way. Okay? Again, that was me. Okay? And in case you're thinking, well, you know, before Pastor Mike started going to church, I mean, that's maybe his. Listen, I've been here since I was 7 years old. Okay? And I've been here lying at least to myself about who I was. Okay? I'm not preaching down to you today. I should be down here doing it. But I'm not preaching down at anybody today. I'm just being honest. Okay? Then there's the type of person. And I want you to notice on all three of these groups, or four of them actually, here's that man weeping before Christ, and Christ has taken him into His bosom to give him comfort. Is that an accurate portrayal? That's how it is. Okay? See, if you are person A and you have not yet dealt with who you are, my prayer to God is that God takes a 4x4 post, wooden post, and brings it across the side of your head to wake you up and make you deal with reality. And God will do it. And I'm going to promise you something. It is absolutely going to be the worst time of your life. Those who've already dealt with it, it will be the worst time of your life. God is going to force you to look at yourself in the mirror and not think that you're somebody else. I know for a fact that I've spent most of my life trying to be somebody else. I have. A lot of times it was preachers. There's a lot of things that I do that I've pulled from other preachers. Okay, I don't know if that's necessarily wrong. God sent some good men in my life. But that's what I do. But I had a time, and have had times, I've had more than one, where God had to confront me about who I am. And by the way, when Jesus talked about somebody being in a sin, and He talked about how that should be dealt with, He said, if thy brother, you know, committed an offense, you go to him privately, right? That's how it's supposed to be done, right? Okay? Can I tell you something? God does not break His own rules. Amen. The Holy Ghost has visited you privately before, hasn't He? He's come to sit with you and deal with you privately and say, we need to talk. We've got issues. We got things that we need to work on. I was there. I was in your head. I could read your thoughts. That kind of stuff. They're confronted with the truth of who they really are. That's your other type of church member. I don't want type A here. I don't want them. Type B will take in every day. That's who God has sent here. Look around you. Okay? This is like a leper colony here. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read and let's pray. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You see that? It's the cross. Do what? First Corinthians. Are you sure? 1 Corinthians 1:17. I'm looking right at it. Is it? Are we good? Okay. Verse 17. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And in churches all across this country right now, there are ministers who are making the cross worthless. Okay? And I may explain that while I'm preaching this morning. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Because most people will think, A, they do nothing wrong. That's dangerous. Why do I need a cross when I haven't done anything wrong? It's everybody else's problem. Right? Know people like that? You'd like to shoot them, wouldn't you? That's a sin. Okay? Or there's some people that think, oh, I made a deal with the devil. I sold my soul to the devil and I can't be saved. Let me tell you the truth. Your devil had your soul the moment your eyes opened. Amen? You didn't have to make a deal with him. He already had you. And so there's people like that that think they're too bad. There is nobody too bad. There is nobody too bad for the cross. So it's the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is. I want you to notice that phrase here, the power of God. It is the power of God. listen to me now. Everything that God has done, is doing today, and will do in your life, He does by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. And in simple terms, the cross is, you can't, so He did. Okay? You can't, so He did. That is the power of the cross. He both did and is doing now and will continue to do. God doesn't fail us. Somebody say amen. Amen. He said, for it is written, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. If you think you're smarter than the cross, I'm going to pray that God will destroy that for you. I will. Because it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. You may not be able to see it, but I promise you, the greatest thing that God ever, ever did for me was not strengthen me. It was weaken me. Okay? I'm not joking either. Let's be honest today. Okay? Let's be honest about, this is 2015. We're about ready to enter into 2016. And I'm telling you that churches all over this country, good churches, full of Bible-believing people, sin has become so much a part of our society and our culture, it is nigh on to impossible to escape its effects in our lives. It is exactly what the Bible says about Lot. He was vexed with what was going on in Sodom. So let's not come in here and try to pretend that we're something that we're really not. We celebrated Roy last week on Tuesday. He had, 26 years? 26. His name for many years was Roy H. If you don't know what that is, that's what AA people do when they get together. I'm Roy H. Okay? Just my first name. That's all you need to know about me. And the man that came visit us yesterday, he introduced himself. He said, Mike, I'm a recovered alcoholic. Okay? You don't mind if I do this, do you? You came, you told me. Shouldn't have said anything. I got a big mouth. Okay? That's why I don't want your nephew telling me national secrets, because I'll tell everybody. Okay? When I said, you need to talk to Roy, you guys need to get together. Okay? They got a little bit different testimony, but it's the same idea. If you're sitting in a room at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, you're a drunk. And these guys will tell you, one of the hardest things to get some of these guys go because they're court ordered. Getting them to admit who they are is the biggest hurdle. Once you admit it, once you come clean, the rest of it's not too bad. One day at a time, Roy. So he said, it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now I want you to look down to verse 24. He said, let's see, where am I here? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So I want us to pray, and I want to try to move through this. Maybe this will help you. All right, Heavenly Father, Lord, You know, God, You know how, Lord, You've dealt with me. Lord, You know everything about me. You know, Lord God, that You will not let me stand in front of Your people and make like this is for everybody else and it's not for me. Lord, that's what I used to think. I used to think, God, that I had to put on a front and preach to everybody else, but I had already attained to everything. And God, You helped me with that a long time ago. You still help me. And Lord, I'm telling You, I'm going to need a lot of help in coming days. So, Father, Lord, you, through this message, you deal with the preacher. Just like in the Old Testament, when the priest had to offer for his own sins before he could offer for the sins of his people. Lord God, you deal with the preacher first and then deal with the congregation. And I thank you, Lord, for your word and what it means and what it does. And Lord, I believe what it says. I pray, dear God, that it would be a blessing both to me, to my family, to those sitting here today. Lord, those watching online, those dear, dear, sweet people out in Kenya. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd wake us up, dear God, to the power of the cross. Help us realize, God, that we have done nothing, we are doing nothing, we will do nothing. We have no strength in ourselves, God, but that strength comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. That is where your power is. That's why the world hates it. Help us to see that, Father. Help us, Lord, just help me to preach this morning. Help me to get through it. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So I want you to take note there that he said Christ is the power of God. Paul said in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation. And what I'm going to show you from the scriptures is that there is not an area of your life that the cross does not want to magnify. God does not want to magnify his power through the cross in areas of your life. So I had these verses in my notes last week, but I didn't know how to preach them, and God kind of cut it off before I got here, and God showed me this week how to preach them, and I thank God for that. Okay? So number one, here's what happens when you do not have the power of God, which is the cross of Jesus Christ in your life. Number one, Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. So without the power of God, number one, you will err in understanding, judgment, and wisdom. What that means is, in simple words, you will mess it up. You will make stupid mistakes. You will say stupid things. You will do stupid things. You will think stupid things. You will lust after stupid things. You'll want to be part of this stupid world. Did I say stupid enough? One more. You won't listen to stupid preachers. That was not about me this time. Without the power of God in life, you will err. You will make errors in judgment. Isn't that what the politicians say when they get caught? I had an error in judgment. No, you were stupid. You thought you could get away with it. That was your mistake.
Amen.
God, open our eyes this morning. You will err. You will make mistakes in the issues of life. You will err in your marriage. You will not treat your wife right. You will not treat your husband right. You'll make mistakes in finances. You'll err in employment issues. You'll steal time on the job, or you'll be part of your supervisors wanting to do something illegal, not get caught, and you go along with it. That's wicked. You'll err in relationships, both good and bad. You'll pick the wrong friends. You'll run with the wrong crowd. You'll make mistakes in life without God's power in your life. So watch this now. Here's the cross. It is missing out of your life. You automatically are going to do things that are wrong. You automatically are going to be part of things that are not right. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. You're going to do things that are stupid. You're going to waste your life. When God puts His power in your life, all of a sudden now it is through the cross which causes you, though your will would have said, well, let's do this, or I'm going to say this, now you've got the power of God in your life to do something that's right for a change instead of doing everything wrong. Does that make sense to everybody? You'll err without the cross, definitely you will err in your doctrine and in your belief. If you are this man here, it's because you do not have the power of the cross in your life. You will err in your doctrine. You'll be part of a crowd that says, if I do enough, then I'll be right with God. God, listen, God did not hang you and Jesus alongside each other on the same cross. He did not share His Son's glory. That was His... Don't we think it's a glorious thing when a soldier is being surrounded by his enemies and he kills every one of them by destroying them all at once and even causing his own life to cease? Do we not honor people like that and think they should receive glory and honor and say, Amen? Should we not drape their coffins with the flag and honor them and have men saluting them and guys on motorcycles parading down the street as their coffin is going down the street? I think we ought to do that. Amen. And leave Westboro Baptist Church out of it. Amen. That's what Jesus did. And He's not sharing His glory with anybody else. You'll err. You'll make mistakes without the power of the cross. You're gonna wake up one of these days realizing that you have ruined your life, you've ruined your work, you've ruined your future, you've ruined your marriage, you've ruined your children, you weakened a nation. That's what's going to happen. Without the power of God, without the power of God, which is the cross, you will be forced into a continual doing of works in an attempt to satisfy the demands of the law of God. Now, I had the idea of a speed limit sign, and this is what came up. And I've seen this one before. I've seen this picture before. Out on 21 Highway there, outside of Hillsboro, the city of Hillsboro always puts us this little machine that's got a radar built into it. And as you drive up to it, it's telling you how fast you're going. I got a rotten streak in me. Every time I see that, I'm going, oh, I can go way faster than that. Here's what I'm saying. They put speed limit signs all up and down every street in America. That does not keep you from breaking the law. Does it? Everybody in this room has broken the law, whether purposely or ignorantly. You broke the speed limit law. You didn't signal 100 feet before you turned. That's also in the law. You didn't do this. You didn't do that right. That is in the law. And we break the law. And if you don't have the power of the cross in your life, you will be forced into a mindset that says, I must continue doing so that I please God. Not thinking that before long you're going to make a mistake. And you can't keep the law. You can't. Your flesh cannot do it. So this sign's for you. The law said 25. You were doing 32. You already bypassed that one a long time ago. The Scripture says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that, what? Believeth. People have this wrong understanding of the law. Well, that's in the law. We're not under the law anymore. Let me tell you something. There's a speed limit on American Legion Drive up here. Does anybody know what it is? 30 miles an hour. Well, where the cop sits up here at the American Legion Hall, it's 30. Okay? And I know where he sits. Okay? Up there by that little airplane that's sitting up there. He's hiding up there, but he's doing radar. He's checking. Speed limit's 30 miles an hour on that road. There's daycare on that road. Does anybody here have a problem with the 30 miles an hour speed limit on that road? Do you think it needs to be 50 or 60? On that road? So do you think that speed limit's good? See what you just did? You consented to the law that it was good. God said, thou shalt not steal. Is that a good law? It would be. You'd think that way if it was your stuff that was stolen. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Think that's a good law? Good one. But just because it's a law, the law, this posted speed limit sign, does not stop anybody from speeding. Okay? So if you don't have the cross in your life, you will be forced into a mindset that you must continually obey all the laws of God if you're ever going to make it. And the truth is, you're not going to, because you have no power in your life. Without the power of God, you will fall under the bondage of enticing men. You will. Everybody up on this screen preaches a religion of do. Every one of them. Kenneth Copeland, Pope Francis, Joel. Look at Joel Osteen. This is what he wrote. This is his words. Do all you can to make your dreams come true. That's what he believes. That's what he teaches. And this guy over here on the farther, does anybody know who that is? That's David Crank. He's the guy that owns this faith church, big mega church in St. Louis. They've got campuses, multiple campuses all over St. Louis. He's got one of the biggest ministries in this area. Okay? And he preaches a gospel of do. You must do this. You must do that. And if you don't, if you're not rich like I am, it's because you're not doing enough for God. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Somebody say amen. He didn't say your works. He said your faith. I believe in the cross. That's all I believe in. These guys will teach you to believe in yourself. I don't. And it's bad when I do. I cannot even begin to tell you how bad it is when I start believing in myself. You've heard me say, and I mean it, biggest person in this planet that I don't trust is my own flesh. I don't trust, listen, I'll have days, my emotions be running all over the place. And I keep thinking, I want to do this and I want to do that. And I'm going, Mike, don't trust that. Mike, don't listen to that. Don't trust that. That ain't right. Wait on the Lord. Call unto Him, Mike. Get some Scripture in you. Read the Bible. I was telling them last night about going to Kenya and the devil's telling me to leave, get out. Twice it's happened. I've been there twice and twice it's happened. And it, both times, especially last year, I actually had Michael on the internet trying to find me a plane ticket out of Kenya for the next day. I wanted out of there so bad it had to be the next day. And I was supposed to go preach to the people outside of Migori. God knew what was going on. I didn't. But it wasn't logical. It was all my emotions. And after we were talking about it in Mike Hutzel's room, and Brent said something. He said, "I don't like this. I don't like how this turned out at all. This doesn't make sense." And when I heard that, I went, "There's chaos here. I know where that comes from." So I said, "Guys, I'm going to go pray." And when I prayed, I realized what it was. And I'm going to tell you guys something. Okay? Maybe I shouldn't be just bare my soul out to everybody, but you guys are my friends. And there's times when I just want to run. Get out of here. I don't like it. But I can't control it. So I've learned, D, I don't trust that. I trust the cross. Where's your confidence? Are you a self-made man? I feel sorry for you if you are. Because you did a bad job, I'm telling you. Okay? It's like asking me to draw a picture of my wife. That would not be good. I do not know how to draw. My faith does not stand. And your faith, now listen to me, these families, these guys are here. They love our church. And they all say, we saw your videos on YouTube. We started watching you. We praise the Lord for that. Okay? And I'm honored that people would come all the way down here to visit our church. I'm honored. Okay? And I know you guys are not like this, but I'm just going to say this. Do not put your confidence and your faith in me. Because I will hurt you. I will. I don't want to do that. That's why when I preach, I'm going to put about 20, 25 Bible verses in it. That way it's God. And it's not me. Okay? Don't. You got to watch out for the guy who won't use the Bible while they're preaching. They had no power. They had no cross. This is who I think I am. I used to collect Superman comic books, Stevie. Superman was my guy. I was not a Batman guy. I was not a Hulk guy. I was not a Captain America guy. I was a Superman kid. This is who I think I am. The picture next to it is who I really am. You know what a beggar does? He begs for things from people who have because he doesn't have and can't get it. That's what a real beggar is. Now, I see people usually up here at 55 and A Highway Bridge there, standing there. They look pretty healthy. Look pretty well cared for, but they're always holding the sign, you know, help, I'm hungry, or this and that and the other. I'm not judging everybody, but I think there's people in this country who can work, and I think if you can, you should. Amen? But I've seen people in different countries just like this who could not work and they had nothing to eat. A beggar is someone who needs something and cannot get it on their own. And they are forced to humble themselves and ask from other people. In that sense, probably everybody sitting in this room is a beggar. You wanted eternal life, and you found out you weren't getting it, and you couldn't get it on your own. 2 Corinthians 13:4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. But we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. God didn't make me strong. God didn't make you strong. He made you weak. Why? So that he could show his strength and his power to the strong people of this world and say, the very weakest of us is exalted higher than the very greatest of men in this world. That's why he did it. I'm up here today preaching to you because of the cross, not because of me. I promise you, it's not because of me. It's the cross. Without the power of God, without the power of God through the cross, listen to me now, you will perish in time of tribulation or think you will not have to endure tribulation. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Do you see that? I won't preach that sometime. Paul did not say, I'm a prisoner for Jesus Christ, did he? He said, of. You know what Jesus did on the road to Damascus? Arrested Saul. And Jesus was holding the chain. And wherever Jesus went, that's where Paul went. If you don't believe that, Paul at one point wanted to go east into Asia and preach the gospel. You know what Jesus did? Pulled the chain. You're not going over there, Paul. Well, why not? Just follow me. And let me tell you something. If you're not chained, you're not saved. And wherever you've been in life, and wherever you are today, and wherever you're going, God drug you there. Probably sometimes kicking and screaming. But He drug you there. And He did it for His... But He did it for your benefit and your blessing, because He loves you. Now we're going over here. Now we're going to go over here. Now we're going to go through this. But I don't want to go through that. Too bad. Let's go. Amen? Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There will be afflictions in your life. And you listen to me. Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught this. And I listen, I know preachers don't want to preach it. They don't want to talk about it. But I'm telling you, there are people sitting in our churches that have received the seed with gladness. But the sun comes out, tribulation happens, they get offended by something, and they're out. And they're not coming back. And if you don't have the stability of the cross, see, what did they do with the cross? They didn't just try to stand it up and hope that it held. No, they drove it down into the ground. It wasn't moving. The cross doesn't move for anybody. That's what I like about it. Out of the instabilities of my life, gave it to me. I've got one thing that I can count on to be in the same place every single time. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Without the power of the cross, you will think that it is your own righteous deeds and your own willpower that preserves you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, and I'm going to be done with this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The cross is what keeps you. You stay by the cross. Amen? What is that song we sing? Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. Amen. It's by the cross, people. This is a cross-bearing church, and a cross-believing church, and a cross-preaching church. We don't do things by our own will, and we're not solid like we think we are. We're made out of clay, remember? And clay gets changed around a lot, doesn't it? But the clay is fastened to the rock. It does not change, and it does not move. So if you hear, or you're listening to me, and you think that by your own power and your own doing, that nothing will be able to harm you, you're wrong. I was wrong. A lot of people have been wrong on this issue. Is nothing but the power of the cross. Okay? So with that in mind, when you think about everybody sitting in this room today, who is it here that you think is less than you are? It's all the same cross for everybody. God made it that way. All nations, all families, all tribes, all languages gathered around the throne of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 7 because they first met Jesus at the same cross. Here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. Okay, I want you to listen to me. Just go ahead and bow your heads. And I just want to give you a time to pray, all right? They call this the invitation time. I'm just going to invite you to pray. If you want to come down here and pray, you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. Okay? I'm all love to pray with you. I don't have any better thing to preach than what I preached today. Nothing. All the sermons I've done, all the Watchman broadcasts I've done, all the research I've done, there is nothing greater than I preach or will preach than what I just preached today. So you're here this morning, you're listening to me, and you've told yourself, I know I got some issues, I know I got some things that are not right. I'm going to try to get those out of my life first before I start trying to live for the Lord because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Let me help you with this. The hypocrite is one who says he is one thing, but he is another. And as far as I know, every real Christian knows they're a sinner. And the real Christians will tell everybody, I'm a sinner. But God saved me. So it's not hypocritical. But I will tell you this. The thought that you have that you can heal yourself and by the power and strength of your own will that you can stop doing what you're doing. Here comes a man walking down the aisle right now that will testify to you it doesn't work. Roy Helms took his whiskey bottles to the cross. He left them there. Some of you need to take your pride to the cross. Some of you need to take your lusts to the cross. Because you're telling yourself, boy, if I could just quit lusting after women or men or whatever, boy, if I could just quit doing that, I'd be a Christian then. You never will be. Never will be. And there is a lot of that going on today. Take your lust to the cross. Christ will hang them there. For you. You're taking your sins and your wickedness and you're putting it on Christ. That's why He had a crown of thorns on His head. He was taking the curse away from you. If you're here today and you're not saved, if you're listening to me and you're not saved, I'm not your judge. God has to tell you that. But if you'll meet Jesus at the cross, you'll find that He's already there. And though you may think, I'd like to be a Christian, I don't think I could live the life. The truth of it is, none of us are doing it except by the cross. There's people in this church today because the cross gave you the power to get up and come to church today. I'm standing here before you today, giving you the Word of God because God gave me the power to stand in front of you today. Because outside of that, I wouldn't be here. So this morning, if you would like to come down here, if you'd like to just stay where you are,
What I'm going to ask you to do is to take what you've got and lay it on the cross. And since they used nails fastening Jesus to the cross, rest assured that when you take them there, they're going to stay there.